Hey guys, this is Laura Vandervoort. I played Kara Kent / Supergirl on Smallville, and you are listening to Always Hold On to Smallville.
Welcome to Always Hold On to Smallville. On this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show. It ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. We are back with our 15th level 33.1, and I am joined by six of our level 33.1 members, Mr. Chris Fuchs.
Hello, hello.
Mr. Dallas Hernandez.
Hola.
Mr. Darren Kirst.
Hello, hello.
Mr. Casey Cochran.
Aloha.
Aloha from the beach, which, according to your background there, looks like you're in a hurricane, though. I don't know what the what's going on there. But anyway, Mr. Joey Dineberg.
Hey, how's it going?
And Mr. J.J. Hodges.
This is the way.
This is the way. So say we all. So a couple bits of news to talk about. There's not much earth-shattering stuff or anything like that, big announcements, but there are some interesting points to discuss, and then we can kind of see where the conversation takes us as we go. It's nice not to have something that's like, oh my God, you guys see what happened? And then, you know, it's like, oh, it was a nice free-flowing discussion. And hey, remember, it's a Smallville podcast, so if you have any Smallville things to talk about, we can also talk about those, because we haven't really talked about Smallville much on these roundtables, which is, I guess, is kind of the point, too, because I talk about it all the time. And I, you know, frankly, I'm sick of talking about Smallville, but this is the way. So what am I going to do, right? I'm only halfway done with the show. No, I still love it. So anyway.
Hey, you're more than halfway.
I am slightly more than halfway. But if you add up all the novels I'm going to have to talk about, the rest of the comic books, you know, I don't know. We'll see. So, but
yes. I still
yes.
need to get started on those novels I have.
Yeah, for real, y'all, if any of y'all want to read one of the novels, then you can talk about it with me. That's the thing, right? Whoever wants to put themselves in reading novels, you know, I say that. I don't know if they're good or bad. I've known about their existence for a long time. These are young adult novels that came out in the early seasons of the show. They kept the one word title thing going. Like the first title of the first novel is called Arrival, which is before the episode Arrival was about the pilot. But anyway, to hey, 33.1 guys, if you want to read the book and just, everybody pick one, let me know. You guys can talk about it with me because I'm gonna need people to talk about those books with. And I think I have two right now. One I got a long time ago and never read, and then one was gifted to me recently. So I don't even know how many there are. Has anyone read them here?
I read one that was, I don't remember what it was called, but like it was like a preacher comes to town and he like heals this kid and he turns into a dragon, I think.
Okay.
And Clark
there's
makes.
There's one called Dragon.
There's one called Dragon. I remember that. Okay, I that remember must the
have
cover.
I have that one.
The cover is Clark in the cornfield, right?
Yes.
He's like, don't you love that? I'm like, that's nothing to do.
If you'll give me a second.
Yes, please go get it, Dallas. Thank you.
There's one that is not a one word title. It is called Animal Rage.
What?
I don't know what
that is. Not canon. You cannot have a not one word title. Animal Rage. Let me get it. Turns into an animal.
As long as the other books.
Yeah, I wonder.
It could be a two word title.
Yeah, it's true. If it were originally
like
two books.
Justice was.
Absolute Justice.
Yes. If originally two books that they put together as one, then they can have two titles. What do we got? Dallas has his
pile.
Yeah,
they combine Society and Legends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's Dragon, Curse, Hauntings, City. And then I think City. This is from the young adult series, Speed.
Speed. Okay.
And yeah, Dragon was the one with him in the cornfield.
It's like, come on. I understand they're like, oh, here's your publicity photos. But clearly he does not get strung up in the cornfield. At least I hope not.
No.
Alan Grant, also author.
Alan Grant.
Dallas, hold that up again. Did that say written by Alan Grant?
Dr. Alan Grant from Jurassic Park wrote the book where the guy turns into a dinosaur?
Yes.
Oh, my God.
That is incredible.
All right. So, hey, we'll talk about this offline, but if everybody wants to get a book, we can discuss it. This will be fun. But hey, I don't plan to cover those until after the show. So anyway. So hey, Smallville, right? We love it. We'll talk about some of that. But hey, some big news, right? A Christmas gift from WB. We're getting Wonder Woman 1984 on Christmas Day on HBO Max. So it's pretty exciting. I mean, I know I'll be watching it. Hopefully, you know, you can watch it with your friends or family or significant others. And or got the day of the day, the next day, maybe the 26th and day after Christmas. So yeah, family comes first, y'all. So do that. And then watch Wonder Woman 1984. But hey, this is a movie we've been waiting on for a long time. Like Wonder Woman, the first one came out in 2017, which feels about 20 years ago, the way this year has been going. I mean, I can't remember way back when you could go to theaters. Remember those things where you go sit next to people and see a big screen in the dark? But Wonder Woman 1984 is coming out on HBO Max and released in the theaters. Although, for two reasons, safety, frankly. I mean, you know, we're still in a pandemic. And two, just availability, because theaters have, a lot of them closed. Very unfortunate side effect of the global pandemic. One of the many. I think most people will be watching it at home on HBO Max. So hey, Darren, what do you think about this announcement about Wonder Woman 1984? What are your thoughts?
I think it's an awesome announcement. I thought it was kind of funny how it kind of like got leaked out at first. And they're like, oh, shoot. And they're like, quick.
They posted the YouTube, right? The YouTube trailer?
Yeah. Whoops. It was supposed to be private, but they accidentally. I think it's a really cool idea. I really think giving the people the choice, the option, I mean, you can't. How much longer are you going to wait to release this movie? You know, it was supposed to come out like half a year ago, you know, and if you keep pushing it back, I mean, there's bank loans that are accruing interest the longer they wait. So, I mean, it's just, they can't keep waiting for it. So I think it's a really cool idea to promote HBO Max. At the same time, I mean, it's kind of best of both worlds. You're giving people the choice and it's on Christmas Day. And I think that's really, apparently I hear that's scaring Disney into trying to release something on that day, but. I'm super excited for it. So,
yeah. Casey, what are your thoughts?
I think Disney is releasing something on Christmas Day or around that time. I believe they're releasing
the movie Pixar Soul. Soul? Yeah. Soul?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I love Pixar. So, I mean, I'm, this is going to come first, though.
Well, yeah.
Wait, are you okay? Do you have to pay $30 to see Soul like you did with Mulan?
I don't know. I don't think they said. I haven't seen anything about
that. Don't think like they'll be doing that again.
Whatever they called it, Premier Member Plus or whatever it was. Okay. I haven't seen anything like that. I just saw whatever I saw said Christmas Day for the movie Soul.
So which will you be watching, Casey?
Oh, I'll be watching Wonder Woman 1984 first.
There it goes. You can stay. Good answer. So.
This is not a Pixar podcast.
So
Dallas, hey, I didn't bring it up. I just added to the conversation.
Oh, absolutely. That's a good point. You're right. Because I had heard that they were releasing Soul on Disney Plus at some point. I didn't realize it was going to be Christmas. So, but hey, that is a great
Christmas-ish, at least.
Christmas-ish, right? You know how movies are like, this Christmas. I'm like, December 12th is not Christmas, Hollywood. But that's a good point, Darren, about for HBO Max is a great promotion because I think HBO Max – people know about it, but it's not as like obviously it's not as mainstream as Netflix or Hulu. But you put a mainstream, highly anticipated movie like Wonder Woman 1984, it's like you have to go here to get it. That's going to drive people there. A great Christmas present for people: get them an HBO Max account so they can watch Wonder Woman 1984 on Christmas Day. So
absolutely.
So about you, Dallas, what are your thoughts on this coming out?
Oh, I can't wait. The promotion's definitely going to work on me because I'm going to have to sign up for an HBO Max account.
There it is. You wearing your Justice League hat. You don't have an HBO Max account yet.
Come on. We all knew I was going to get it before the Snyder cut, at least. But this just actually bought me a few more months before that finally comes out. Yeah, I'll definitely watch it as soon as possible.
Awesome.
I can confirm December 25th for Soul.
There it is.
Okay.
So yeah, if you have more time on Christmas away from your family,
after well, we could be getting together with our family,
if
so we
could
just be
home. Waiting
that,
for exactly. Everybody else to wake up, watch.
That's true. I mean, social distancing is important. So, you know, after you're done with your Zoom Christmas with your family, then you can go watch Soul on Disney Plus after you watch 1984 on HBO Max. But JJ, what are your thoughts on this, man?
It's funny to me where like I'm very excited for it, but I see a lot of people complaining on Twitter that were like, oh, it's like, but you know,
what are they saying?
Like these movies are meant to be seen on the big screen and now it's being released here. And I kind of laughed a little bit. I was like, you all realize that, you know, 99% of the time you watch a movie is on your TV, right?
Yeah. Especially these days.
well, not only that, but even before it's like, you know, the more recent movies, they're in the movie theaters for like 2 months. Like when we were kids, it was maybe 6 months.
Yeah.
But now it's not that much time. And then they're released on DVD or Blu-ray or streaming or whatever, or a digital. And it's like, I mean, that's how we watch movies nowadays. So I, as much as I love seeing things on the big screen, and I wish that, you know, it, where I live, we were having like this past 2 weeks, we were having like 100 cases a day of COVID and everything. So I was like, yeah, I don't want to go anywhere that isn't my house or my work. So it's like, if I can watch this from the comfort of my home on Christmas Day, I'm going to do that. And I'm very, very excited about that.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I think will happen? These movies that have come out streaming first, once it's safe to go to the movie theaters in mass numbers, I'll bet they'll put them back in theaters for those that want to get the experience. Because there's time. So obviously this wouldn't be the first time for a lot of people if they do this, but every single time an MCU movie came out, I saw it in theaters.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's going to be the reverse of a backlog. There's going to be a drought of movies that have not been being produced over the past year and a half by the time, you know, hopefully movie theaters are never going to be what they were. Let's just face it, I think. I mean, just because they're closing and they're not going to reopen. A lot of them, very unfortunate. But when they do open, they're going to need stuff to show and stuff that had a very limited release. Like, I'm sure they'll re-release Tenet and all this, you know, all this stuff from this year. And I think Wonder Woman 1984 would definitely be one of those. And I'd go see if it's safe, right? You know, whatever your level of safety is. We're far, far away from my personal level of safety right now. I think everyone should, you know, keep social distancing and being smart. But, you know, say like in, I don't know, a year, knock on wood, things are safe. Next Christmas, I'll go see it there. But at least the option is there, you know, because the option is there for people to go see it in the theater right now. Although I would not recommend it. I'm just saying. A drive-in, though. You guys been going to any drive-in theaters since COVID started? Anybody?
No.
I wish.
I think in most states that actually have a winter, those have been gone for a long time.
Oh, I live in Texas, so what do I know?
I live in Florida, so I know even less.
Well, yeah, because drive-in theaters are great. I mean, they were obviously they had kind of faded away over the decades, but it's a really cool experience. Yeah. And there's one, fortunately, I live in the greater Houston area in Texas, and there's one about 45 minutes away. So if you want to make a trip out of it, it's a fun road trip, you know, with a friend or significant other, and you have a good time up there. So Joey, what are you going to do for Wonder Woman? What's your plan?
I think I'm going to wake up and just skip the gifts and everything and just go right to the TV. Yeah. No, I'm very excited for it. You know, when I saw what's the Soul is the Pixar movie. Mm-hmm. I saw a lot of stuff on Twitter about, you know, what a huge competition. I'm like, I watched two movies today. I was just sitting around. It's a Sunday. I'm like, all right, you know, I watched Thor: The Dark World today. So you got.
Oh, why did you choose the worst Marvel movie to watch?
You know, my wife and I, put in Iron Man, last weekend, and
the first one.
Yeah.
Okay. I was worried if you kept watching bad Marvel sequels, but please.
Yeah. No. and then we just decided, all right, we're gonna go through this whole thing. So.
Oh. Okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Did you watch The Incredible Hulk or skip it?
We watched it. Absolutely. Yeah.
Did you watch Ang Lee's Hulk? Because technically Incredible Ang Lee's Hulk was a prequel to The Incredible Hulk, because when they made it. I love bringing that up. Just people are like, what? Because when they made The Incredible Hulk, it was like a pseudo sequel to Ang Lee's Hulk. It's like, hey, he's in South America. Remember? Yeah.
The opening credits too. They kind of go through some of that.
But they do, but then they also, like, it's not the same thing. Yeah. So it's like the Superman Returns of, like, so what happened and what didn't? But anyway. But hey, is this Howard the Duck count? Is that in the MCU?
My Blu-ray shelf, it does.
I'm just going to say yes.
I have all the MCU movies in order by release, and Howard the Duck is first in that row.
What about Ang Lee's Hulk, though? That should be second.
No, I don't have that one on Blu-ray at all.
You know, what if you put him in chronological order and you put Captain Marvel first, or Captain America and then Captain Marvel, chronological order?
You know, Disney Plus has them listed in, you have your choice in chronological order, or the order they're released.
Oh, really? Okay, so so that's only for the MCU.
Yes.
Like, do they have that for X-Men? Because where do you put Days of Future Past?
X-Men, I think they have a category called, like, Classic Marvel or something.
Marvel Legends or whatever.
I've always looked at X-Men as three distinct trilogies.
Mm-hmm.
except for the Wolverine ones. Those don't really go together, but they're just, I put those as their own trilogy.
Yes, yeah, and they're all pretty much equal if you look at them that way. You have two good ones and one bad one in every single one. But anyway,
yeah.
Chris, man, we haven't got a chance to hear you share your thoughts on Wonder Woman. What are your plans for Wonder Woman? Are you excited about this?
I am excited. I've had HBO Max since it first came out for the same reason you have, support the Snyder Cut. Show my interest. This is just another cherry on top. When they saw that it was going to be released, I wanted to see initially, do you have to pay for it? And when found out that you don't, like, this is great. I mean, I don't know that I'll get to see it actually on Christmas Day. Yeah. I got kids now, so I don't really have that opportunity like I would used
make
to.
Sure
but
in the next
probably
month,
the next day.
It's huge Wonder Woman fans. Yeah, no, I think this is cool. Because to Darren's point, you can't wait on this anymore. I mean, it's foolish. It's like technically this was done, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, like in 2019. They're like, oh, we're gonna finish up some stuff, we're gonna put it next year. Like WB must be so mad that they delayed this, because it's like it's crazy to think that this could come out in, like, I think it was like November. It had I think two or three distinct release dates in 2019, and
it
could have been
November originally. Yeah,
and then it was December, and I think I think it was done even in the summer where they were like waiting. So I mean, I don't know exactly what their options were, right? Because you always don't want to release when another studio releases a big one. And you're playing that like, oh no, Terminator Dark Fate can't compete with that. Bad call. Should have done it. I understand shying away from Star Wars, right? But Jumanji's not afraid of Star Wars. Why is Wonder Woman? But anyway, but they could have made $1 billion and home video and merchandising and all that. But you know what? They can't keep it on this coming soon thing anymore. They got to pull the trigger. And I think that the dual release with HBO Max is definitely the smartest thing to go. And I'm very excited for it. I love the first Wonder Woman. This one, I mean, I love the trailers. I love Blue Monday. I've been playing that all the time now. Like, that's the song. Go look it up. It'll get stuck in your head. The 80s, time period piece is interesting. I think, I mean, we've talked about when we talk about the trailers, but I like how they're trying to keep it in continuity where she's still like a secret and all that. So I'm very curious to see how they fit it in with the established DCU continuity, because, I mean, Steve Trevor, don't think he's going to survive this movie either, but we'll see what happens to him. So, and hey, it's got the Mandalorian in it. This is the way. So
this is the way.
Yeah. So, and
I think Gal Gadot being who she is and how she just immediately is Wonder Woman, that regardless of whether it's a good story or not, like, you're going to go see her be Wonder Woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it'll probably be a good story. I think it'll be good based on what they did before, but she's so enigmatic, or whatever the word I'm looking for. Mm-hmm. Like, I want to see her be Wonder Woman. I don't care what she's doing.
Yeah. Well, you get to see her as Wonder Woman twice next year on HBO Max.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and to your point, JJ, people are like, oh my, it's going to ruin everything. It's like, what do you want? Like, this movie, unless you save it for like another year and a half, it's not going to make $1 billion. It's just not at this point. So you have to understand that. You have to take the loss. And I think they're doing it the smartest way they can. They have their merchandise. They're out there. So if people see the movie and love it, the kids are going to want to buy their cheetah action figure or whatever they're going to do. Right. Well, so that's the way to do it. And you got to keep these DC movies going, right? You don't want to just let it be on pause forever, because there's this, right? And then there's obviously the Snyder Cut coming next year. Which I was hoping, let's talk about that for a second and we'll wrap up here. But the Snyder Cut coming next year, and then what, the Suicide Squad is next?
Yes.
And the Batman is whenever, like, they, everything
after that,
pushed back so forward. So.
And then it'll be Aquaman 2, probably.
Which hasn't even started filming, so who knows, right? The Suicide Squad and the Batman, they're in production / post-production as we
speak. Have they said anything about a Shazam or Shazam 2 yet? Or Black Adam?
That
Black
has
Adam
now
in
been
10 years.
Black Adam is never going to be released. I've been excited for that since 2014 when The Rock had Thanksgiving with Henry Cavill.
Black Adam 2030.
But all jokes aside, Black Adam is now been taking off the release schedule. Not because it's canceled, but because it's like, well, it's so far in the future. But hey, we know Dwayne Johnson is going to take good care of himself. He's going to be fine. So.
He will look the same age.
He will look the same as he was, right? But
he's the Tom Brady of movie stars.
There he is. There it is. Hey, the Patriots didn't do too well without Tom Brady, did they, Casey, as of today's recording? So
no, they didn't.
Lost to the
They lost to the Browns, didn't they?
They lost to the Texans. The Texans. Browns of the South. Cleveland Browns South. The Houston Texans. This is who they lost to. So Cam Newton's my fantasy quarterback, too. Anyway. The Texans beat the Browns. Or no, the Texans lost to the Browns, but they beat the Patriots.
And the Browns,
Browns are 7-3.
There you go. Case Keenum, the backup quarterback. He's the difference.
Any given Sunday.
So, hey, there you go. Wonder Woman 1984. I think we're all excited to see it. Brief note on the Snyder Cut trailer. It was black and white, which Snyder's thing. I got to say, I wish they had not made a big deal that there was going to be a second trailer because they did. I don't know who they were, maybe the internet. I was a little disappointed because I'm like, oh, that's the same thing I just saw. But there's two other shots, and it's in black and white. So that's all I have to say about it. I would have hoped for an actual release date at the end, like March 2021. Like, that would have made it worthwhile to me. But hey, yes. I know he loves the black and white. I know that's his thing, so that's fine. But I don't like, it's not another trailer. It's like, I would call it a alternate trailer.
Snyder cut trailer.
It's the Snyder cut of the Snyder cut trailer, I guess. But what are your guys' thoughts on that?
I'm already excited for it. So whatever they give is what they give.
I'm very excited to see it. Especially when they announced, I mean, say what you will about the movie itself, but I'm at least intrigued with Jared Leto being in it. I'm sure it's not going to be much, but I think that's kind of exciting. But I have to say that there was some, they took the trailer down because there was some controversy, or they lost the rights to the music or whatever, to the Hallelujah song. And I have to say, I know we're all in about the same age group. When I hear the Hallelujah song,
Shrek,
I think of, yes, exactly. I think of Shrek, and it just cracks me up. I'm just like, man, I just think of, like, you know, the mama bear on the, is like, is Farquaad's floor. It just cracks up about that.
Oh, but no, I love that song. I mean, many different versions, and
there's also the version he used in Watchmen.
Right, and that's why it's there. It's the version he used in Watchmen, so it works for me. And I don't know, put a different song for Watchmen on it this time. Maybe use All Along the Watchtower. Maybe. So I don't know. Just to mix it up. Just to mix it up is all. So, Darren, what did you think about the new trailer?
I mean, yeah, it was very similar. I mean, Zach kind of had said a couple of days beforehand kind of what to expect about the trailer. He said there'd be a black and white version. They're going to do the director commentary for the trailer, and then the colored version was going to get released on the HBO Max YouTube page, and that's kind of what happened. I was kind of expecting a release date too, but it is what it is. And like Chris said, I'm excited for it too and can't wait to see it. So
anybody else, any other thoughts on the Snyder Cut second trailer? Yes.
I did not watch the trailer because I did not want to be disappointed. I'm just ready for this movie to come out. Like, enough with the hype. Just let's have the movie already.
Yeah, I mean, you don't really need. I hope they don't release anymore.
It's starting to feel like an Avatar sequel.
Avatar, man, talk about movie theaters shutting down. How screwed is James Cameron at this point? Like, he's been screwing around for 10 years about sequels to a movie that people are like, okay, that was fine. I'd never need to watch that movie again at home. That's the movie you need to see in the theater. Talking about theaters, right? That's a movie meant to be seen on the big screen. Because if you watch it at home, it's like, oh, that's Ferngully again, just with live action, sort of.
I've always said Avatar is the perfect movie to keep on Blu-ray, 4K, whatever, when you just have a bunch of people over and you just want to show off your new TV. You just want something pretty plain. It's the perfect movie for that.
Mm-hmm. Who here is excited for any more Avatar movies?
I wasn't 0%. Excited about the first one.
Exactly.
I got dragged to it.
I would say I'm curious.
I got a funny story about Avatar, the first movie when it came out.
Please.
I didn't go see it because based on everything I'd seen about it, I didn't have any interest until I actually read a plot description, because everything I'd seen was all hype, like basically biggest movie ever or something. It wasn't about the plot at all. Until I heard about so I finally saw the plot, and I went and see it at a domed theater in Tampa after it was already on DVD. So once I saw it, I enjoyed it, but it was all hype, and that didn't register with me.
Yeah. Well, I like you, Darren, I am curious because James Cameron is like one of my favorite filmmakers. I mean, he was just knocking it out of the park until he decided to just stop making movies and do underwater stuff. The rest of it's like, hey, I got a submarine. I'm going to look for the Titanic. Well, that's great. Can you give us like Terminator 3, like a real one instead of all these other ones? No? Okay. I got to say, I lost all respect for James Cameron's endorsement of things when he endorsed Terminator Genesis. He was like, you guys seen this? It's like Terminator Genesis, which is the one before this one, which is the worst one. Dark Fate was still better than that. But it was the one with Emilia Clarke and Captain Boomerang.
Yeah.
And anyway, like it's James Cameron. He's like, yeah, you know, I looked at this and I start to see things that I'm familiar with from my movies. And if you love Terminator, you're going to love Terminator. Just, I'm like, you are such a sellout, James Cameron. I lost all respect for you. But he's made some of the best movies of all time. He's an artistic visionary, like Aliens, Terminator, Terminator 2, True Lies, right? So I will go to a theater, I guess, if they're still around, to see Avatar 2, just to see, because he spent so much time on it. And I think there's, what, 3 sequels? He's been working on simultaneously. It's like a Lord of the Rings thing. So
too many. 5. There's 2 prequels. Wait, 2 sequels, 3 prequels. I don't know.
Never mind. I take it back. I don't care anymore.
Just heard Zach's soul leave his body. Oh, he was like, man. What?
I was trying to give this guy some credit.
Anyway. Last point will come out.
That was the long-term plan I saw a couple years ago about the Avatar franchise.
Thanks, James Cameron. So. Oh man! See, you know what's said? If Titanic had bombed, I've talked about this with some friends before. If Titanic '97
had sank,
had sank. Oh, there it is.
Oh,
well done, Dallas. That's what we count on you for around here.
Oh my God!
Had that sank, you know that we would have gotten a real Terminator 3 by James Cameron in like 2000. So I'm like, damn you, Titanic! You just took it away, because Arnold could have used a real Terminator 3 as well. I love Arnold Schwarzenegger, but man, he's made some bad career decisions. And it's a bad choice in his personal life, as we found out. But hey, it's all good, right? But Terminator's done, right? You can't do anymore. They've tried sequelizing it. They've tried rebooting it. They've tried ignoring other sequels and it's over, you know? So leave it at the first 2 movies and the thumbs up going in the lava, you know, that's all you need. So
remake.
Thank you for randomly. No, don't do it. With Dwayne The Rock Johnson as the Terminator. Perfect.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Or Jason Momoa.
That's going to push Black Adam back another few years.
Don't do that, please.
No, don't do it. Don't do it. So,
I mean, like remaking RoboCop or something.
Oh, that would be. And what if they put Michael Keaton in it? God, that'd be terrible. Maybe Rick Flagg from Suicide Squad could be RoboCop. Anyway, I don't hate that reboot, but it like Total Recall reboot, and just they're all pointless. And that's like, why are you doing this? So, thank you for randomly mentioning Avatar, Casey. So we can go on that 10-minute tangent. But yeah, Snyder Cut, it's coming. We're all very excited about it. You know, if I were Warner Brothers, you got to think like, when's the ideal time to release it? I don't know, because you don't know, like, you can't do like normal school schedules and stuff. There's no cycle of life anymore. So who knows? So I can't even wager a guess. I hope it'll be in the first half of the year. Do you think so, Darren? Do you think it'll come out that soon, or do you think we'll have to wait longer?
If I was a betting man, I'd say March 2021.
Okay.
Almost all of Zach's films have come out in March. My only other guess would be May, but my money's on March.
Yeah, all the 300, Watchmen.
300, Sucker Punch,
PBS.
Watchmen, Dawn of Justice.
Legends of the Guardians, Owls of Ghoul.
You know, I could see, that's right. I could see them I know doing about Easter that movie. Sunday.
That's the one I've never seen.
Yeah.
That'd be crazy.
Easter Sunday, because the Superman's resurrected. Right?
Well, and BVS came out on
March 25th.
On Good Friday.
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I'm a real fan, so I saw it on Thursday. So I...
is Easter in March this year?
I guess. See, that's what my birthday's at the end of April. I'm like, how is Easter on my birthday?
April 4th.
Like last year, Easter was like on my birthday. I'm like, what is going on? It's like March, April, it's lunar calendar. What are you going to do?
And so. I don't know if anybody picked up on this in BVS, but I think they were using Superman as a Christ allegory.
I think so. I think there were a couple scenes. Okay.
No.
Now that
no,
is not.
They
no,
were.
I give that
has
a hard
that ever
time,
been
but
done
that
before?
Is that is not unique. That's not. I know people are like, hey, made him Jesus. I'm like, yeah, but so did everyone. Look at Richard Donner, right?
When he falls off the building at the end of season 9,
I'm pretty sure in the Look Up in the Sky documentary, they fully paint the picture on how that's kind of what the whole concept was based off of.
It just kills me every time.
Season 10.
Kills me every time because he was created by 2 Jewish guys.
Yeah, to be fair, he was supposed to be a Moses allegory.
Right.
So, Way to but go, Mo- New Testament.
Moses is like Old Testament Jesus, right? Anyway, we're not going to talk about semantics. There are, but that's, see, all jokes aside. All jokes aside.
No religion, no politics.
Superman is what you bring to it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, it works in many ways. But yes, they have really leaned into the Superman is Jesus thing. So we'll see. They'll roll away the stone, and he'll come out of the Kryptonian ship, and it'll be great. So anyway, Superman. So, yo, let's talk about something else from Snyder Cut related. Martian Manhunter. Right? Apparently he's going to be in it. We'll see. I mean, I guess, right? They're filming with Harry Lennox, I guess. Here's the thing. I think Martian Manhunter was better teased on Smallville than he was in the DCEU. Because if you showed someone Man of Steel or BVS, and they didn't know anything about comic books, you would never assume that guy... bottom line, they should have shown General Swamwick eating Oreos, all right? And then I would have been like, all right. I got you. I see what you're putting down. But I don't know. So, but this is something. So, Darren, you're our Snyder historian here, as I count on your knowledge. This is something that he had planned from the very beginning. Is that correct? To have him be Martian Manhunter? Because I don't know. Like, that's something very. My point thing is, there's no on-screen evidence to say that was the case. But what's the story here?
You're right. I cannot confirm that it, during Man of Steel that was supposed to be the plan. Mm-hmm. But I know during BVS, I think that was when that idea was kind of getting, expanded upon because, I mean, like, you know, I mean, we've known for a little while now because Zach shared the
storyboards
of that, you know, he had shot stuff that Martian Manhunter was supposed to be in the movie. So, I don't know when that decision was made, but, you know, I'm pretty sure back in the BVS days, I'm sure that was definitely something they wanted to do. So.
I think it's fine for them to like change their mind and do it, but I also think it's like to like we had to plan all along. I'm like, did you? We'll see.
I think it may have been why he wanted to keep Lennox in the eyes of the fans and why he brought him out to read that bit when they announced Batman versus Superman.
That's an excellent point, Dallas.
I don't know if he knew during Man of Steel, but I would think he's known at least since even probably the conceptual days of Batman versus Superman.
Because that elevates him more than just random government guy to have him come out at the BVS panel.
Right.
Because he read the lines from Dark Knight Returns. Yeah, good point.
And I'm sure he knew he was getting Justice League when they told him do Batman versus Superman, I'm pretty sure that he knew he was getting Justice
League. Well, that was part of it. Like, Justice League was like filmed 2 weeks after BVS came out. Now BVS was supposed to come out a year earlier, right? Talk about delays, right? But oh, how interesting it all falls. Like Ben Affleck hurt his leg once in like 2014, and here we are. Oh, quotations. Well, so I don't know. Maybe he had some other personal things going on. Maybe, who knows? But anyway, all that happened, and here we are in 2020, waiting for the Snyder Cut of Justice League to come out. But
did you see the screenshot that Zach kind of teased? Is that what you were referencing when you brought it up?
Yeah, the screenshot of him and the storyboards with that. I think, you know, I hope they lean into the fact because he's not going to be some in-between, like, it's not Smallville anymore, right? You know, not even Supergirl. Like, he's been this general guy. When I see him shape-shift, I wanted to see him look like, you know, Martian Manhunter, and he looked just like him in those concepts that Snyder shared. So I hope that's what we see. I would be interested to see why he's impersonating Martha Kent to go talk to Lois Lane, but all will be revealed in the Snyder Cut, right? So,
I think the best.
Find this.
I feel like it was best during Supergirl in season one, when it was Hank Henshaw that turned out to be Martian Manhunter.
Again, that was tease, right? They set it up. You see the red eyes. You're like, that guy is someone. I think he's Cyborg Superman because I know comics. But no, they use comics against me, and we're like, he's someone else. He's not who you thought.
So it's like it's not as interesting to me now because I already saw it with Supergirl and I was like, and when that happened on Supergirl, you know, I have a very vivid image of it just going, oh, that's so cool. Like, you know, because the whole time he's like, I'm not Hank Henshaw. It's like, oh no, he's Cyborg Superman. Something's going to happen. And then he morphed into, you know, Jean. And I was like, I can't say enough about it as a huge fan of Justice League, the animated series.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I love Smallville, obviously, right? Yes. And I love Phil Morris, right? But man, that was a letdown to see him as like 10 seconds. He was the Martian when Dr. Fate restored his powers. I was like, surely in season 10, no, there was no budget for that to see him. So I get it. But But yeah, well, that Martian Manhunter is a notoriously underserved character, and that's why they've been working him in where they can. I mean, I understand why Cyborg is on the Justice League now. Like, I'm talking like DC Comics. Well, as of the New 52, I don't know what they're doing now. Rebirth. I don't know who the Justice League roster is, but I understood why they switched out Martian Manhunter with Cyborg. One, diversity, right? Cyborg is African American. Let's switch him in. If you insist on having Hal Jordan and you can't have John Stewart, then we need Cyborg in there.
Yeah.
And Victor Stone. And that Martian Manhunter, he is unique from Superman, don't get me wrong, but he's kind of redundant. If you're like, hey, here's a alien from a dead planet who has all these superpowers and do all these things, like, that's not as interesting. And Cyborg can hack into computers and do all that cool stuff. So that made sense. But unfortunately, I think that kind of dropped him off like the hierarchy of Justice League. And for all of us who are around the same age as, you know, grew up watching Justice League Unlimited, he's a key member of the team. So I'm all about more Martian Manhunter, wherever we can get him. I just, it's funny now that, you know, we're on the podcast proper, we are in the phase where they're teasing Martian Manhunter and there's Oreos and stuff. And I think, and we talked about it, Casey, you know, we were on there. I think your suggestion of like Martha being like, hey, Clark, do you got the Oreos? That would have been pretty funny to have on Smallville. But did you have something more to say, Casey, about Martian Manhunter and whatnot?
I did. I was thinking that perhaps the reason they didn't tease him earlier in the first couple of movies was just in case something happened where they didn't get him back as an actor. Mm. So
the blacklist kept him too busy.
Or whatever, you know, like we've seen plenty of recasts in the MCU and they had to use the same character, but with a different actor. So they could do the same thing. If he dropped out of the DC Comics movies, then they could bring in someone else to be the Martian Manhunter.
Well, I'm just saying they could have had a guy eating Oreos, you know, and then he could be like, well, that journal guy, he's like, is it Brad Pitt in Ocean's 11? He's eating food all the time. This guy eating Oreos all the time. So I don't know. But yeah, the Martian Manhunter, right? I'm glad that he's getting his due because that's, you know what, you know, have any of y'all seen the 1997 Justice League of America TV pilot?
Yes.
It's terrible. It's god-awful. But Martian Manhunter is in it. And David Ogden Steers, who was in MASH, he's also played the voice of the Penguin in Mystery of the Batwoman, the Batman animated series movie. Anyway, he was Martian Manhunter in it. And it actually looks really, really cool, I think. That's like the coolest thing in the entire movie. He's got like the cape and the head and all that and the prosthetic. And apparently all their budget went to that because there was no budget. And everything else was embarrassing. But anyway, Martian Manhunter, I'm glad he's working. I'm glad technology is catching, because a lot of these characters, technology needs to catch up to them. So,
yeah.
So there you go. There's some, I think we've kind of covered any kind of news. Unless anyone else has anything to mention.
Actually, to smash up what we were kind of talking about earlier with James Cameron and Avatar and technology catching up, I'd be interested to see what he could do with a Green Lantern movie.
Aquaman, though. It's underwater. No, you're right. I would love to see James Cameron do any kind of superhero. I mean, he was going to do Spider-Man for a long time.
Yeah.
He was always in talks for that, but it never happened because, well, technology hadn't caught up yet to do Spider-Man.
Oh,
but...
what was that? Well, Entourage, that show. That, I know they had
the Aquaman movie they joked about.
Movie by James
That's
Cameron.
Why they joked about it. He's the perfect guy to do Aquaman. But I think James Wan is doing a knockout job with Aquaman.
Oh, he is.
Down with that.
Yeah.
Oh, are you guys going to boycott Aquaman if they keep Amber Heard on? Have y'all seen this?
I have never boycotted a movie. I mean, I didn't go see Solo because I hated The Last Jedi. But other than that, I have never really boycotted a movie. Thing is, like, Johnny Depp, like, he's been done wrong by the media, but because, like, it was a... We all just hear what they tell us, right? Exactly. So that's all. So, like, I don't know who did what. I think they're both... pretty bad. They both got pretty bad looks here. The fact that they're like, away with you, Johnny Depp, but like keeping Amber Heard is like, that's odd to me. Like, just keep them both. And
I agree.
That's my opinion.
I 100% agree with you. Yeah. I think it looks bad to keep her, but not him. I think they should both just be it's toxic and I don't like it.
I think it's even worse because it's the same studio.
Yes,
exactly. That's what the problem is, because the same people are like, keep you, but not you. And you're like, but I just
is Pirates WB? No,
Pirates is
Disney.
Disney now.
No, yeah, but it's Harry Potter that he.
Harry Potter.
Yeah, we're talking Harry Potter because he was in those Harry Potter prequels, right. which They're I've never him. Never seen to be honest.
I saw the first one.
Yeah,
second one was god awful. It was.
It's god awful, but then like the story wants you to get you to keep coming back to see more.
I know about that.
I drag my wife to the superhero movies, and she drags me to Harry Potter. And I can usually watch all of those, but that the second Fantastic Beasts, I was sitting in the theater. I was like, I don't even know what I'm watching.
Am I the only Harry Potter fan here?
No, I love Harry Potter.
All right, you too. Yeah, not the only one. Okay,
yeah.
I'm a Ravenclaw.
I actually was just wearing my Gryffindor sweatshirt all day, and I took it off because I got hot. Damn it!
So I think we're all going to see Aquaman too.
Yeah. Yeah.
When it drops on HBO Max, Christmas 2025, am I right?
Exactly, yes.
I guess it's going to be Aquaman versus Black Manta, right? I mean,
they kind of set that up.
I don't know if they'd keep him as like the side villain or make him the main, because I think he was great. I love all the villains in there. I think they did a great job. I don't know if he can carry his own movie though, Black Manta.
If it's Yahya Abdul-Mateen II, he can do it.
There it is. Is that how you say his name?
It's yeah. So
he says. I think you got it.
I never pronounce it because I'm afraid to get it wrong. But I respect you, JJ, for that.
Yeah. I've listened to podcasts with him, and people say Yahya.
Okay.
And he's like, yeah, it's fine. But then somebody said Yahya, like they pronounce the H, and he's like, that's the correct way to do it.
Like Gal Gadot or Gal Gadot. I've heard Patty Jenkins herself refer to her as both. So I'm very confused.
Where I come from, Yahya is a grilled chicken restaurant.
Man, there was a great place in Houston called Yaya Mary's, one of my favorite Greek restaurants, and they closed for COVID and they're not reopening. I'm very upset. But there's plenty of places to get gyros in town. Anyway, the point is, we're all going to see Aquaman 2. Aquaman right now, I go back and forth, as you guys may have seen when I kind of, here's my DCU rankings, right? Aquaman's probably number one for me right now. Like, I really do love Aquaman. Aquaman, Wonder Woman, and Shazam. Those are my favorites.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Sorry, Zack Snyder.
I'm looking up at my Aquaman trident right now.
Oh, man. But, because the thing was with Aquaman, the first one, he fought the Trench, and he fought Ocean Master, and he fought Black Manta, which I respect. They didn't hold anything back. Then I'm like, well, then what do you do in this sequel? Like, I don't even know any other Aquaman villains. Like, I guess there are some more. Anyway, pollution. Aquaman fights pollution.
I was just going to say pollution.
Anyway. So,
he runs for president as a Democrat.
There it is.
Fracking? Is he going to fight Joe Biden?
Well, yeah. Listen, I want to see Aquaman's birth certificate because I'm not sure if he's a citizen of the United States. But anyway, we kind of covered all the news there. Anything Smallville you guys are like want to talk about while we're all here? This panel of experts on Smallville things.
Is the Oreos product placement?
Oh, that's a good question. Did I go back and change that? Did we? I don't think I changed. Well, there's no new episode yet.
Right.
Yes.
So I don't know. Did you?
I'm going to update the stats for the next episode we do with an episode of Smallville. Yeah, because we're going to count that. Because okay. I mean, they're Oreos. So, and you're the guest, so you get to decide. That's what I always defer to the guest when it comes to the tally board. So, you guys ever off-brand Oreos? They're not very good. You know?
Yeah.
No, they're terrible.
Nabisco has some. I don't know. Nabisco has some kind of secret formula, I guess. Because it's like, you know, your mom would get the like brand action. Like, mom, these do not taste the same when you're a kid, and they're gonna make fun of me at school. So
Hydrox actually came out before Oreos.
Well, just fact that it's one of those things where you call it an Oreo, you don't call it a sandwich cookie or you know, dog and cream. Like you call
it
an Oreo.
Does anyone say Oreo on Smallville? That's the thing. It's just implied, right?
I don't think they do.
Do they ever talk about him?
I know he's there's a promotional image of him holding like an Oreo, I think, in the barn. That's what always comes back to me.
But you know, Clark doesn't ask him like, "Hey, you got an Oreo there?"
Yeah. What is that? Oh man, Oreo man. That's what Chloe would have called him. But well, way to get sloppy, Martian Manhunter, just dropping Oreos everywhere. Now you've been following this guy around for 25 years, and all of a sudden you're dropping Oreos. So I am looking forward to seeing how I forget exactly how they explain. It's like, I was a bounty hunter for Jor-El. I'm like, why is Jor-El have a bounty hunter? He's like a scientist on Krypton. Like, how many scientists do you know that have bounty hunters working on the side for him catching criminals, you know?
somebody in that writer's room may have had a grand idea of, one day we'll tack Lobo in this show.
That's right.
We'll have a background of intergalactic bounty hunters.
You know who you cast as Lobo? Jason Momoa, right? You probably could have got him back in 2008 when he was doing Baywatch Nights or whatever.
Baywatch Hawaii, I think. Oh,
they're one of those, right? Perfect Lobo, but also a great Aquaman. So.
Did you know that he actually auditioned for Batman first?
He auditioned for Batman?
Yep.
Which
I did not know that.
He was for BBS.
Oh, okay.
He auditioned for Drax.
For Drax.
As well?
Oh, I believe it.
So everyone on Drax has played by Batista. It's all connected. That's great. I know Josh Brolin was the backup to Ben Affleck, right? He was the first offered or number two choice.
It was either him or John Hamm, yeah.
Well, I don't think John Hamm even auditioned. That's fan casting to my knowledge, but I don't know.
It'll all be
revealed in that Snyder Cut book, right, Darren? That'll all be...
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah.
It's hard to picture Josh Brolin as Batman after he played George W. Bush.
Well, I love that movie.
He'll always be Jonah Hex to me. So,
did anybody see that Christian Bale Vice Dick Cheney movie?
Yes. No, but I love the song in that trailer.
Yes.
Yeah, that trailer's cool.
Was it good? Well, I mean, the movie...
I really enjoyed it.
Christian Bale's that guy, man, what an actor. Batman to Dick Cheney. Are you kidding me?
And I really thought I was going to be sitting there the whole movie thinking I'm just watching Batman. Right. But, I mean, it was good.
Christian, like, his commitment to, like, changing his body shape and type. I mean, like, you see it from, I mean, he was in American Hustle with Amy Adams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was crazy.
And, like, he's just this kind of schlubby guy from the 80s. And then The Machinist. Yeah, where he's like skeletal. Like
60 pounds. Disgusting.
And then he's pretty
skeletal in The Fighter, too.
Yeah. So, I mean,
he's like a meth head in that one.
Yeah.
That's a great movie, by the way.
More committed than Jim Carrey.
Another one with Amy Adams. Yeah. Yes. That's the connection. So,
Jim Carrey was originally supposed to be one of the Three Stooges, but he didn't want to put on the weight.
Yeah, I heard that Three Stooges movie, which I never saw. It was going to be Benicio del Toro, Jim Carrey, and then somebody else famous.
Well, the movie's amazing.
And then none of the famous people played them, but I don't know. If Jim Carrey were in it, I would have seen it, I guarantee you. So.
Yeah, 100%. I want to say one thing about the Snyder Cut.
Yes.
Which is that if we ever want to watch a trailer for the Snyder Cut, just watch the original trailer for the theatrical release of Justice League with the Gary Clark Come Together song.
Come together.
Because literally almost none of that footage is in the movie. So that's Cyborg. All the Snyder Cut.
You should probably move, right? That's the one from...
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. I guess so. And you're right, because even the color of the climax, it's not red.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yep.
What a great change.
Well, and there's that voiceover that everyone assumed was Steppenwolf, but was actually probably Darkseid. That you never heard that voice.
That
bit,
was that was the, like,
which voiceover?
Where he's like, no lanterns, no Kryptonian. That was Steppenwolf.
Oh, I can confirm that Steppenwolf.
Yeah,
that was Steppenwolf.
You got a confirmation.
Yeah, he's talking to Desaad on that.
States good.
Okay, but that voice clip definitely was not in the movie.
No, not at all.
There was a lot not in the movie.
Yeah.
Did you say he's talking to Zod?
Desaad.
Desaad.
Who you might know from season 10 of Smallville.
I know who Desaad is.
The BDSM club owner or whatever he was.
I kind of liked that, though.
Queens.
I joke about it, but it makes sense with the character, right?
Yeah, I enjoyed that aspect of it. And Granny Goodness was really good.
Granny Goodness was great.
Yeah,
that was cool. That was cool.
The only bad thing about Rosenbaum not coming back for the Rosenbaum coming back for the Mally was is they cut out a lot of stuff with the Granny Goodness and Desaad and the other one.
Their ending was just awful. The way they got rid of the three.
We got friends in high places.
What are you talking about?
Three arrows.
Who was the third one? Gordon Godfrey.
Gordon Godfrey. Well, he was. They did a good job with him too.
They did a great job with everyone except for Darkseid.
I like how they just like kept them kind of in the background in a few episodes. Like they kind of fed them through before they had their big one.
Yeah, and Gordon Godfrey was what, Alex Jones, I guess, before.
Didn't Tim Curry voice Gilbert Godfrey in a lot of the animation?
Gilbert Godfrey.
I knew I was going to do
Gordon
that.
Gordon Godfrey. And yes,
Gilbert Godfrey was Mr. McFiddleick, but yes, you're close.
Young Justice, he was.
Young Justice, man. Tim Curry, man. What a voice. He played the devil in Legend. He's perfect for that kind of stuff. So
that explains Gilbert Godfrey. He doesn't actually have a voice. Someone voices him.
the mother of my child, fun fact, is she's a huge Rocky Horror fan, and on her arm is a Frankenfurter.
Oh wow.
And she's also played Frankenfurter on stage. And then like as like a random happenstance, I was in a play and I was talking to coworkers. I went up to one of my bosses, one of the doctors I work for, and I was like, hey, I'm in a play. You know, here's the information. And he was like, oh, that's really cool. You know, about a year or two ago, I went to go see Rocky Horror Picture Show and blah, blah, blah. I was like, Brian, that's the mother of my child. she was Frankenfurter. And he was like, are you effing kidding me? It was, oh my God.
Frankenfurter was really hot, bro. Oh, awesome.
I know.
That is one fan. I saw that with some friends in high school. I saw it the first time. And then eventually, of course, I guess if everyone does at some point in their life, you see it in the theater with the people acting alongside and all that. I just don't get the appeal. It's not for me. I understand. Hey, all for the people who attached themselves. I mean, the 70s was this cult thing and it's continued. It's like Star Wars level of fandom because it's consistent for like since the 70s. So good on them. But I applaud their dedication and their fandom, man, because it is a fan. You have sports, you have comic books, you have Star Wars, and you have your Rocky Horror Picture Show fans.
That's a good way to put it.
It's crazy. Dressing up and mouthing along. I mean, we would love to do that stuff. If they did like the Dark Knight every month, we'd all go and dress up like the Joker and throw cards and you know, we would. So
we could definitely do that with 89 Batman.
Oh yeah.
100%.
I could quote that right now from the start. So decent people should live here. They'd be happier someplace else. So anyway, you have to pick one that's a little more obscure to prove to y'all that I really could quit. But anyway, I don't even know what we got on that, but that's great. Tim Curry did the voice. That's right. Tim Curry did the voice. Yeah, Tim Curry, the original voice of the Joker, by the way, Batman the Animated Series, but they deemed it was too scary and they cut it out. I would love to hear those tapes. Release the Tim Curry cut. That's what I say. Because him and the guy, Clive Revell, who played the Emperor's voice in Empire Strikes Back before they replaced him,
yes.
He did the voice of Alfred for a few episodes in Batman the Animated
Series. The first three or four episodes, yeah.
Yeah, but if you watch it on the DVD, they're all out of like order. So like there's production order and there's air date order, and so you hear this random Alfred voice like 15 episodes later, like wow, Ephraim Zimbalist Jr. took the week off. Like, no, just Clive Revell, the original Emperor. That's a change in Star Wars Empire Strikes Back, which is so obvious. Like obviously you replace the Palpatine hologram. But they did it so poorly. Like, he looks so weird. Like, he looks fat or something. That's my problem with the Revenge of the Sith Emperor. What is wrong with this? How is the makeup better? Because you see Ian McDiarmid. He looks fine. He's not fat. Right? Yeah. But there's something about the Revenge of the Sith Emperor. Like, it's like, why you look like you gained 100 pounds and you turn evil? I don't understand. And they were filming Revenge of the Sith. And like, hey, Ian, you come over here. Read these lines real quick. We're going to put you on the DVDs. And they're like, okay, sure. And they clearly just put that in Empire Strikes Back. And like they needed, I don't know, like more shadow. I don't know what it was. But it was not, obviously you had to do it for continuity, but they just executed it poorly, which was what Lucasfilm was doing in the late 2000s, I guess.
He just had a new camera for Skype. So he was looking at it weird like.
Yeah, true, JJ. All that shit I just threw at Star Wars, they were in a much better job than they were doing right now. I have all due respect for what they were doing in 2005 through 1999.
To give my first ever compliment to the sequels, Ian McDiarmid looked great in Rise of Skywalker. I mean, in terms of, like, he didn't look the way he did in...
He didn't look 100 pounds overweight.
Yeah.
He was scary.
Have you seen the promo shot of the Emperor and Anakin from Revenge of the Sith, and they're both holding lightsabers? And he looks so fat in that. I'm like, I don't understand. because you see McDermott, he's just like a nice, proper, little trim British guy. And I don't know why he looks so fat as the Emperor in Revenge of the Sith.
Speaking of all this, did I see they just released on Disney Plus like a behind the scenes of Attack of the Clones?
Like, oh, I did not see that.
Behind the I just saw in an email or a tweet or something that you can go on Disney Plus now and see like behind the scenes. They showed some blue screen work with Padme and Anakin and stuff.
Of course it's blue screen. It's Attack of the Clones. Taking one and two of our blue screen studio. So no, that's cool. See, that's cool. But see, that's the thing. That's why I will still always buy physical media. Right. Because I want to own it and all the special features. Like if you got, you can spend like a little money and like go on like Shout Factory or Scream Factory, all these very specific people that like they shell out and get every last behind the scenes thing and they make new documentaries. I love that stuff. And that's why I'm like, well, I'm going to buy this because you can't get this on a streaming service. But I'm really proud that they're doing this now on streaming services. They're releasing these behind the scenes things so other people can see them, because I think that's really cool insight to things that people don't usually get if they just watch it on streaming, you know? So that's cool.
Disney Plus is good about that. Yeah.
They're also good about that because they have no other content right now. So they're like, oh crap, we can't film that Marvel show we were going to. So here's behind the scenes of Star Wars we shot last year. So they made a show out of the making of The Mandalorian. So,
but like, here's my thing. Like, isn't WandaVision done? Like, is that not done?
Is it?
I thought it was.
That's what slowed.
Like, I oh my gosh.
I know what held up a lot of stuff too is that it was
filmed.
But
I don't think that was one of them.
But it I know a lot of stuff got trapped in post production too with the coronavirus.
Yeah.
Like they shut down post production projects on a lot of stuff, cuz like 5 or 6 episodes of Supernatural was done when the studio shut down, but it took them months and months just to get back in and finish all the post-production. And then they, on that one in particular, they still had about 3 more episodes to film.
But they're all back now, right? Like everyone's getting back in the swing of things, September, October, doing their quarantines and testing. And
I know a lot of the studios are going back because they had to go back in order to finish Supernatural because the finale just aired 2 nights ago. So three nights ago, but. So I know
that's
a lot of
that's like Smallville ending again. I mean, for Supernatural ending, I'm like, wow, that's the last one that was still on the air. With our friend Jason Teague. So.
Yep. And Jared Padalecki, they're going to do a new Walker Texas Ranger with him. And they're actually going to be filming down here in Texas.
Oh, where?
I'd imagine around the Austin area, since that's where he lives. But
gotcha. So Chuck Norris needs to play his dad in it, right?
That's what I'm hoping.
That's such a missed opportunity. Chuck Norris is like in his mid-70s now, by the way. Dude is old, but I guess he has to dye his hair, right? There's no way his hair is still red like that.
I think the hair just stays that way because it's afraid of graying on Chuck Norris.
And that's crazy because you're right, Dallas. I saw an ad for that just the other day, and I'm like, oh, is that immediately going to start? Like, is that
January 2021?
That's great. Like, wow. That just shows you the gap of production, right? Because obviously, he filmed Supernatural well before he started Walker, but anyway. I mean, Walker, Texas Ranger, I'm from Texas, yeehaw, and all that, but a CW Walker, Texas, like, is this where we are now? Like, what is next?
I guess. Hey, they made Riverdale dark and interesting.
I haven't watched any of those.
Well, Jensen Ackles is going to The Boys, which is awesome.
Oh, is he?
That show. Yep.
I need to watch that.
Yeah, it's only 16 episodes, and it's fantastic.
Amazon Prime, right?
Yes. Yeah. Amazon Prime. It's much better than the comic. I did not like the comic.
See, I haven't read the comic, but I've heard nothing but good things about the show, so I definitely want to check it out. And it does the evil Superman thing, which I'm kind of sick of, but at least it's not Superman. They wrote their own character and did that with, so at least I respect that.
That actor that plays, his name's Homelander, he's fantastic. Obviously it's almost the same exact powers as Superman, but it isn't the evil Superman trope as much as it is. This is a very... Yeah, this isn't like a Clark Kent raised on the farm kind of thing. It's very different.
Mm-hmm. Cool. No, I'm looking forward to checking that out because I know the first I heard about was like Carl Urban. I'm like, oh, Carl Urban, I love him. Dr. McCoy, yep. Judge Dredd, right? And like, I always like seeing him stuff. And then because I had never heard of this comic before Amazon Prime decided to make it. So definitely gonna check that out.
Yep.
So Smallville, any other Smallville? I think we started with like Oreo cookies and that was a good tangent there. Any other Smallville hot takes anyone wants to share? Joey, you have anything, man?
Oh, no, not at the moment.
All right, well, think about it. Get back to us. Anyone else have anything to say about Smallville?
The Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Listen to that podcast. It's great.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yes, it is.
Pretty good.
And A-plus guests every, you know, every time. You never know who's going to pop up next, right? So
yeah, Kevin Smith was just on it, yeah.
Did you guys see the one with the Justice League reunion?
Yes.
I saw the one. I haven't listened to it yet. What was Kevin Conroy busy? Why was he not there?
Yeah.
He was not in that.
Yeah, that was
his own.
That's the one thing I noticed. I'm like, where's Kevin Conroy?
That was the day he was filming Crisis on Infinite Earths.
That must have been. Yeah, Michael Rosenbaum's podcast has been delayed a year for COVID that just came out. No, because I know, because Conroy had his own episode on there. So that makes sense. Like, I know they were cool and all that. So anyway, that's the first thing I noticed. I was like,
great.
Counting out who was there or not there. But yeah, him talking about his anxiety and stuff. So fascinating stuff.
Yep.
So, but yeah, I know. Keeping the torch alive for Phantom, Michael Rosenbaum, man. Yeah. So.
Yep.
I know you try and stay away from it on the podcast, but has anybody here been watching The Vow?
What is that, Chris? I'm not familiar with what you're discussing. Yes, I watched all The Vow.
I've seen the first couple episodes, and I found it very intriguing.
HBO Max, by the way. So
yep,
that's what's cool about HBO Max, because I love documentaries. I'm like, I knew HBO was going to supply me some stuff. This is great. All these HBO shows I want to watch over the years are on there. All the DC movies, obviously, and then all these documentaries. And so if you're not aware, The Vow is about Nexium, which is the organization that Allison Mack got mixed up in, and there's a lot of Allison Mack in here, and it's not comfortable to watch, but we all need to see it. And I think the creepiest part to me, and I don't know if you know, y'all chime in here, but the guy who was in charge of this organization, his name's Keith Raniere, he'd have people like video him everywhere, right? So they have the entire meeting of when Allison Mack shows up for the first time. And you can see her just fall under a spell, and it was all from there, right? It's very unsettling because you're like, oh, this is it, and here we are, and now she is facing 25 to life or something for the crime she has been convicted of, and we're waiting on. Well, he now
sentencing.
That's it, sentencing. No,
he's the only one that got sentenced. The other ones are all waiting because of COVID. Mm-hmm. They're under house arrest or whatnot. But I just like it. After watching something, that does this change Smallville for anybody a little bit? Like, is it hard to look at Chloe the same at all? I mean, for me, I can separate the two, but
that's what I do, really. I mean, because of what happened with Kevin Spacey, does that make American Beauty not a fantastic film? Not for me. You know, just because someone's personal life, it doesn't affect the way I see their art. You know, a great example, like we've been talking about The Mandalorian off and on. I know what's her face, Gina. How do you pronounce her last name? UFC fighter. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Fantastic character. I love her character on The Mandalorian. Loved her in Deadpool. And then I know she's quite a good UFC fighter, but you know, she just recently said some anti-masking stuff on Twitter, and now there's this huge campaign to get her off The Mandalorian. And I'm just like, just because someone's, you know, despite what I think of them in their personal life, I still don't think that's a reason for so much backlash on what they do as an artist, an actor.
Yeah. I mean, that's a little different having opinions than committing crimes.
Well, true, but my point is
fair enough.
because they commit a crime, because I don't like what they did in their personal life, you know, they still made this art, and you can still appreciate the art.
Yeah, I think for me, I think looking back at Smallville, I don't have a problem. Like, I can see Smallville for what it was and in the moment, but if like she were to say do something in the future, I think that might be a little harder for me. If like something after the fact, you know,
That's
a good point.
I agree with Chris. You got to separate the art from the artist, right? And also, because she wasn't doing this during Smallville, now, her and Kristen Kirk got into the organization during then. And she slowly became more and more like got deeper in. That's why she was only in a few episodes of season 10, because she needed to give more of her life to this. But all of like the, you know, the branding and all those sorts of things, as far as I know, and you, if you watch this documentary, you're gonna learn a whole lot about Nexium, the time table.
Yeah,
that was all post Marvel. So not that makes it okay and all that stuff. Obviously, right? What I'm saying is, it's not like, oh God, she went home from this scene and went and go branded someone. It's not like that. It's something she fell into afterward. And so that's a great point. Like you said, Chris, if she does something after this, then that's hard to kind of separate, because you watched her for years in Smallville before this, and then this happened, and you can go back and watch those things and kind of separate them. But look, it's uncomfortable, man. You know, Chloe, I've been very clear about it. I was in love with Chloe and Allison Mack for my entire teenage years. Right. And like, this is like, oh my God, are you serious? And so now it's, you know, we don't talk about it much on the podcast, obviously, but we kind of broached it when it first happened. And, you know, I don't even know if we kind of tackled it appropriately or not. It's just when something so randomly happens like this, you kind of deal with it with like, you can't process it. You're like, well, I guess we're going to joke about it because I don't know what else to do, because I, you know, right. So I don't know. I haven't listened back to that. And so if we didn't handle it sensitively enough, I do apologize, but it was just like insane news. Well,
You're separating the art from the artist. You're talking about Smallville. You're not necessarily talking about what Allison Mack did 10 years later.
Yeah.
But to bring it all full circle and tie it into, you know, Michael Rosenbaum's podcast Inside of You, he had he just recently had on a guest, Sarah, the girl from The Vow, Sarah Edmondson or something. And he made a good point. And something that I thought was really interesting about The Vow, and I thought the same way as him, is you watch the first episode of The Vow and they explain basically how these people got involved with Nexium. And on a whole, what Kristen Kruick initially got involved with, stuff like that, it sounds great. It sounds like self-help, helping you get over your fears and be a better version of yourself. And that's how people got tied into it. So like you can kind of see the appeal to it for people in that industry or people who just want to make the world better, be a better part of themselves. And that's kind of how these people fell under that spell, is that initial, I want to do good, I want to be a better version of myself type thing. So, I mean, all that stuff is just mind blowing.
Yeah. And I think that, like, cause I've talked about it with other people who watch it as well. And they're like, man, they actually sell this thing pretty good in the first episode. I'm like, yeah, but that's kind of the point.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, oh, well, what's wrong? And they're like, oh, well, let me show you. Cause they want to kind of step, cause I think it was a really well done documentary. I kind of relate to the guy who was the documentarian who got sucked into it. I'm like, oh wow. Okay. Like, you know, this guy who, cause I think those are the strong, I think honestly, I started to kind of like talking about The Vow now. Like, it's 8 episodes, 9 episodes, is it, Chris? Is it 9 episodes, I think?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. There's going to be another season, too.
Yeah, I know. At first, I was like, I'm not looking forward to
it. From what I've heard, I'm not looking forward to it, because
as they
kind of tease, no, they're going to have him on it. And they already had Nancy in a little bit on it, and they're going to have her on it, too. So, like, that kind of – to have those two specifically
Prefect
talking –
Prefect and Vanguard? Like a little –
Yeah, to have them getting that media attention and being the focus of it now, that kind of irks me a little bit. I'd rather it be more from the perspective that season one was.
Yeah, because that's the thing. Like, when you do these, like, covering, you know, these horrible people, you want to focus more on, like, you know, you don't want to celebrate them and give them their – see, I don't know. You got to give them their – they say, like, you got to give them their time. Well, they had their time. They had their time for, like, 20 years running this terrible organization, right? Show the clips, because what they did a great job. They showed all the clips of him, like, all his marketing stuff. Like, that's how you have him speak for himself. Yeah. That's what he was promoting.
Especially him, because he's not apologetic at all. Like,
no,
like,
not at
he's,
all.
He's got 120 years in prison, and he's still saying that, you know, he didn't do anything wrong.
Yeah.
And now you're going to put him on a platform where people can hear what he has to say and get more media attention.
Yeah, a couple things on that. Like, it's 9 episodes, right? So, like, obviously around like episode like 6 or 7, I was kind of like, okay, I think they could wrap this up. Like, you know, like, it felt like it was stretching. But episode 9 was really strong, because I think it came back around to the documentarian guy, Mark Vicente, right? Who had like started, and he got sucked in, and like, oh, like, I'm like, oh, I can like, I understand, like, I'm into this guy's story, what he's talking about. And then through him, you introduce the people like Sarah, you mentioned, was on Rosenbaum's podcast. And so that's all very good. But then, I don't know, it just kind of lulled in the middle. Then by episode 9, I was like, oh, okay, though, they kind of wrapped it back around to him. Now this is a good close. Now have a little epilogue with like, Keith Raniere is in jail for the rest of his life. But then to have the tease with his phone call from prison, I was like, yeah, I'm not too excited about, like, I'm kind of next to him out right now, to be honest. Like, I don't need that. And then, but I mean, it's done. Like, I get ratings, greedy. I don't know why they would continue, but
if you really want more, Starz did another documentary. Oh, wow. with India Oxenberg. She was the main part. It's 4 episodes, and it's just her personal experience start to finish from next to him.
So that was the famous actress's daughter, right?
Yes, the one they were trying to save the whole time.
Has she been saved?
Yes. Oh, she got...
Okay.
She... I don't want to spoil too much. I mean, even apparently
I had Chris about like the vow, like they set up because the mom, Catherine, right, was in Dynasty in the '80s, famous actress. And so like they set up, she's trying to get her daughter out the whole time. They don't like tell you if she got her out or not. And I was like, well,
I felt so they finished.
Other documentary to find out.
Yeah, she didn't come out until the end of it, like after Allison and Keith got arrested. Mm-hmm. She came out of it, and she was actually if you watch the Starz documentary, she was a key witness for the trial because she got her hands on a lot of evidence and helped them turn over. But I guess she came out of it, and now she's doing a lot better.
Yeah,
good.
And she wasn't on the vow because she wasn't ready to be involved in it at that time. But now I guess she's got her own, so maybe she just wanted to steer the narrative to how she wanted it told. I don't know.
There's also a dramatized Lifetime movie about Oxenberg and her mom's involvement. And that explains kind of how Oxenberg got trapped into it.
Is that the same one with the woman who played Allison Mack in it? Or
yeah, Allison Mack is a character in it.
Right. So there's a Lifetime movie for everything. But there's that. Yeah. So
talk more about that when Lance is with us again.
Yes. Yeah. He's your expert on your Lifetime, but so heavy stuff there, but hey, HBO Max, Smallville ties everything together. Thank you. The Vow. And
they had to come up with something to outdo Netflix's Tiger King.
Yeah. I mean, if you thought those people were insane, you know, it's the same kind of people, man.
Yeah.
Same
kind of people. The crazy thing about
not watch Tiger King.
You got to watch
it. No, me either.
Oh, yeah, everyone has to watch it. It's required viewing. Or not. It's up to you. But yeah, try to watch it.
It was required until like 3 or 4 of us said we haven't. Then he changes mind.
Yeah. You got to see where the wind's blowing and just go with that.
The fact that we have so much footage of all of that to make those 2 different documentaries is just, and I'm sure they left plenty on the cutting room floor too. And it's just incredible.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? The megalomaniac kind of people, they think that they, oh, of course I should be filmed 24/7. And it makes for great documentary material when you get a hold of that after the fact. So,
the motto of documentarians, don't help, just film.
There it is. Also, everyone watch Unsolved Mysteries on Netflix, by the way. Anybody like Unsolved Mysteries? Yeah.
Oh, I loved Unsolved Mysteries.
I loved the old one. I haven't seen the new yet.
The new one is good. There's no host. There's no host. So, because you can't out Robert Stack, I guess. But I actually really like the new volumes of Unsolved Mysteries. And then apparently they're coming out with a podcast now because they're like, oh crap, it's COVID. We can't film anything. We'll do a podcast.
I mean, murder podcasts are a big deal.
I love true crime. Oh, I love true crime stuff. Yeah. So
there's a meme that was great I saw that was like these true crime podcasts are so great because they're like, and then they never found her body, but they found her finger. Anyway, you know what I love about stamps.com? Yes.
That is exactly what it's like. It is so frustrating. I'm like, I'm trying to skip through that. All right, y'all. Well, it's been a lot of fun tonight on the podcast. Let's just go around the table and tell everybody where to find yourselves out there online. So, Chris, let's start with you, man. Where can people find you out there?
At CRFuke7 on Twitter.
Very good. What about you, Darren?
You can find me on most social media, including my main one, Vero, at just my name, Darren Kirsch, or Darren Kirsch 16. Also, if I can add, I did recently start watching a Netflix show with Annette O'Toole in it.
Oh, The Punisher?
No. it was back when I had COVID. It was called Virgin River, but it looks like it's kind of like a Hallmark-y kind of show. But it's actually like if Hallmark was a good version of a Hallmark movie.
What are you implying, Darren? Lance and Kevin are gonna have some words with you. They know what Hallmark's all about.
No, it's a good show though. It's a good show.
Yeah. Cool. No, check it out. I'm always on the lookout, especially for like, you know, small actors who you're like, oh, Annette O'Toole. I just saw, I don't know if you guys have seen the pictures or trailer for the new Tom Welling show. What's it called?
Professionals.
The Professionals.
Yes, Professionals.
Does it come out to the U.S.? Like, when's it come out here? I see it's been released other areas.
I don't know. Tom looks pretty good in it though, so I'm excited. What about you, Dallas?
Dallas Hernandez on Facebook, always creeping around the Always Hold On Smallville Facebook page, and Dallas from TX on TikTok.
There it is, TikTok. How's the OKCupid working out for you, man?
OKCupid.
Wait, well, I don't, what was the dating site? You saw? eHarmony? What was
Tinder,
it?
Bumble. Tinder, Bumble.
I gave you too much credit, I think.
I'm paying for that now.
Very good. Very good.
Not yet.
Very good. Not yet. All right. What about you, Casey?
You can find me at CaseyCochran53 on Twitter. And occasionally I am also on another podcast, Into the Speed Force, hosted by Lex Ledger, for another 33.1 Patreon.
That's right. You guys started, Lex started podcasts over there. You're a frequent co-host for him, as I understand it. Is that right, Casey?
That's correct.
Into the Speed Force. So check them out. Mm. What about you, Joey?
You can find me on Twitter at JoeyD94_13. Usually just complaining about the lack of offense by the Chicago Bears. So that's pretty much what I'm doing all day.
There you go.
Bears.
What is the record this year?
You know, we were a great 5-1 when we beat the Bucks, and now we are 5-5. So we'll see how that goes. There you go.
Yep. Life comes at you fast.
Yeah. So.
All right.
I believe, and finally, what about you? 4-1 after you beat the Bucks.
He's somewhere around there.
And what about you, JJ?
You can find me on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. 4 Comic Junkies. That's FOR, 4 Comic Junkies. Also have my own podcast, the 4 Comic Junkies podcast, which you can find wherever you get your podcasts. That's a lot of fun. I hope you guys subscribe and dig in. On Twitter, it's a lot of anti-Trump stuff. So if you're into that, you'll see a lot of me there.
All righty. Well, that's for me. I'm Moron Zach on Twitter. And I'm always Smallville with 1S on Twitter for the podcast. And I'm always on Smallville on Facebook. And he sends an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com. Once again, 1S. You guys know all that by now. So thank you all very much for being patrons on Level 33.1. These are always a lot of fun. We have some fun, talk some serious stuff. This was great. So if you too want to be a member of Level 33.1, you can go to patreon.com/alwaysmallville and sign up for the Level 33.1 level.
This is the way.
This is the way.
Join us.
So we'll be back in the not-too-distant future with another installment of Level 33.1. But until then...
Always hold on to Smallville. Kneel before Zach.
Thank you. I'll leave that in for sure. Always Hold in Smallville is brought to you by listeners like you. Chris Fuchs, Cafonte Chillis, Dallas Hernandez, Casey Cochran, Darren Kirsch, Lex Ledger, Joy Deedberg, JJ Hodges, DJ Duena, Jason Skipper, Mateo Jarrell Santiago, Nathan McKenzie, Tim Miller, Joe Mikindo, Steve Rogers, John Curcio, Atif Sheik, Molly Ficarilla, Trayvon Brady, Mike Franz, Dylan D'Antonio, Mariana Sachi, Rachel Miller, Andrew Parker, James Lee, Jonathan England, Adam Sullins, Joe Michael, Nathan Rothatcher, Zachary Burkhalter, Corey Moore, James Bandini II, Nick Ryan Magdoza, Eddie Bissell, Jim Thomas, Nicholas Fansler, Catherine Caldwell, Will Hunt, Clunk Kant, Patricia Carrillo, Tom Gerke, Nicholas Coso, Jared Gibbs, Erica Flynn, Anthony Anderson, Jasmine Magelli, Keith Falls, and Jay Packett. Thank you so much to all these patrons, and you too can become a patron by going to patreon.com/alwaysmallville with 1S. Hope to see you there.